Page 174, Hanech Gam Avdecha Nisar Bohem, your servant is careful. Beshamram Ekev Rav. The reward, Beshamram Ekev Rav, will translate the words out of order. Beshamram Ekev means reward. There is an abundance of reward, Rav is abundance, Beshamram, for guarding the mitzvahs of the Torah. A person who is diligent, careful in Hashem's mitzvahs, there is reward.
What's an abundance?
Page 176.
Is the abundance of word?
Akev. Akev means, Rav means an abundance. Rav is an abundance. Akev means abundance. Reward. No, Rav. Yeah. Rav, like Rov. The word Rav. Rav means an abundance. Rav, Reish Beis. Bishamram, Akev, Rav. Reish Beis means an abundance, like the word rov. Rov means many. Akev means heel. Okay, there are different translations. We'll discuss that. In this context, it means reward. I'll show you in a moment. Akev means reward, and rov means abundance. Bishamram means in guarding, shomer. So the pasuk means that a person who in keeping them, in guarding them, being a shomer, a person who is an observant Jew is called a shomer Shabbos. What do you mean? What does it mean? He's shomer Shabbos. What does that mean? He observes the mitzvah of Shabbos. He guards the laws that relate to Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos. So in reference to all of the Tariag mitzvos, the word Bishamram means a person who is a guardian of the Tariag mitzvos, Akev, in reward. There will in payment there will be reward, Rav, in abundance. In reward for guarding Hashem's mitzvahs, the person will receive sachar. Let's look at the mitzvahs David. Mitzvahs David, back on page 174. Gam avdcha uritzon loymar gam ani min hachoyim bohem vani nisar bikiyumam. David is, we're winding down the Mizmar. The end of the Mizmar over here, by the way, is very, when we start the Mizmar, we didn't really say very much when we began this Mizmar, as reference to who wrote this Mizmar, and when was it written, and what purpose. This is the first time that we didn't really spend much time on that, because in the Mefarshim, there's nothing here. All of the other Mizmar, the first thing that gives you satisfaction when you read a Mizmar is, number one, who wrote this? Who composed this Mizmah? Now you'll say David, okay, that's usually the case, but not always. And even if David indeed did compose the Mizmah, many times the Mefarshim will tell us David saw with Ruach HaKodesh a specific event that would occur at some point in the future, and he summarized in his words the expression that individual who would be the lead person in that event would express at that time. For example, classic example, Mizmar Chof Beis, Keili Keili Lama Azatan. That is the Mizmar that is said on Purim. And Chazal said, who said those words? Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka lived a lot later than David HaMelech. Okay, Esther Hamalka lived approximately 600 years after David HaMelech. So how could it be that the Mizmar on Purim is the recite Mizmar Chof Beis, where it says Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, when David and
it's less than 600 years.
David lived before the Binyan Bayis Rishon, right? He lived shortly before the Bayis Rishon was 410 years, so it's about 500 years. Okay, so let's say David lived a couple of years before that, 410 years. The Purim story. Purim story was towards 52 years, approximately 52 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So you're right, it's about 460. 460 years about. Approximately.
Not the 52, the 70 above
them. That was after the
Bayis. Yeah, but it wasn't 70 yet. It wasn't 7. That was the mistake of the Ruchanet of Achashverosh. They made the party that they made. They miscalculated the number 70. They thought the number 70 referred to when Nebuchadnezzar came to power. And then Achashverosh made a mistake when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoiachin with the Chodosh and the Masker. So the story of Purim took place approximately 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon was in existence for 410 years. Add another 52 years, that's 462 years. David died about a few years, I think in 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, seven years before, something like before the building of the Bayis Rishon. So that's already 470, we're up to 470 is 59. Let's say average 470 years. So it's approximately, now also when did David recite, when did David compose this? Doesn't necessarily David compose this the day that he died. David lived for 70 years. Maybe David composed the Mizmar when he was 30 years old. Okay, so let's make, for argument's sake, it's about 500 years. I said 600, I misspoke. It's 500 years. How could David HaMelech compose, say, a Mizmar? And that Mizmar we attribute to Esther HaMalka. When Esther HaMalka went before Achashverosh, to ask him to come to the party, so she said, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, the Shechina departed. Esther HaMalka lived 500 years after the time the Mizmah was composed. So what's going on? So the answer is obvious that David HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh. David HaMelech, he saw something, and he composed these words, and Chazal tell us that what he really saw, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, whatever that means, was the story of Purim, and he expressed what Esther in essence said. Now, did Esther actually say these words? Yes. If the answer is yes, the answer is yes. If she did not say these words, it doesn't matter. David HaMelech in Mizmar Chav Beis expressed her emotions in the most perfect words possible. So that's what we do when we start every single Mizmar. The first item on the agenda when we discuss the Mizmar is who wrote the Mizmar. And after we figure out who wrote the Mizmar, in response to what event in that person's life or in regard to what future event in the history of the Jewish people was the Mizmar composed?
Could it be a past event?
Yes, of course, we said that. It could be either a past event, it could be both. There's the many different layers, dimensions.
Why did Esther feel that Hashem had left her?
Oh,
that's a side. Because when she went into Achashverosh, the Shechina departed. Do we know what Shechina means? We don't know what it means. But when Esther went in, Esther was like
Esther Rabo.
He wrote the Medrash. You know that? He actually wrote the Medrash in English. He translated Esther Rabo. Okay, so but the point over here is when we do Mizmar, the first thing on the agenda is who wrote the Mizmar. Next, after we know the author, with regard to what event was it composed? Is it the past? Is it the future? Was it the present? Fine. When we did this Mizmah for the first time, we didn't really spend any time on it. We just said it's general Mizmah. That and I the Mefarshim in the beginning of the Mizmah, typically is where you're going to find the information that you're looking for in regard to what was the composed. They came out and said nothing. It's strange. Almost nothing. There wasn't even one word of commentary at who wrote this Mizmah and when it was composed. However, when you come to these last few psukim that we're winding down now, all of a sudden everyone wakes up. Everyone wakes up and, and here we see that this Mizmar was composed by David in response to the Maaseh of Baas Sheva. And in fact, we're going to have some very graphic midrashim here. From very interesting midrashim over here describing David's conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in regard to the chait of Baas Sheva. So this whole Mizmar, turns out, it's only in retrospect, all of the beautiful things that it said in the beginning of the Mizmar was all really a lead up for David to ask Hashem forgiveness for what he has done. He jumped the gun. He saw this woman on the roof. She was a young woman, and she was really, to a certain degree, designated to another man. And David took advantage of his power, of his situation, and he married her. And he took her out, and from that came a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble came down, came forth from what David did at that time. And here, at the end of this mizmar, we are the psukim are expressing some of the details of David's supplication to Hashem to be forgiven and for this event to be striked from the record. No one should know that this even happened at all. So that's Gam. So David here is now coming up this whole long discussion of describing the beauty of Torah, of how the beauty of Yiras Shamayim, all of these things that we discussed yesterday in detail. Torah Hashem Tinima, we discussed Eidus Hashem Ne'mona, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim, Mitzvah Hashem Bora Mirasei Noyim, Yiras Hashem Tehora, Mishvidei Hashem Emes, Hanechemodim Mizahav Mipozrov, the Mesuk Midrash. Now David says, you know what, I'm part of the team. I am part of this team. I embrace everything that we have mentioned in this last number of Pesukim. And therefore, he winds, and therefore, forgive me. Okay, we'll get to that in a few moments. But the reason why he's saying here, Gam Avdecha, here is where David is signing his name. I'm the composer of everything that we just said. And I want to make a statement that I believe in everything that I just said. And not only do I believe, I am a participant. I'm an active participant in these values. Gam avcha nezar bohem, your servant, back to the mitzvah of David. Gam avcha return loyma, gam ani amin bohem, v'ani nezar b'kiyumam. I have a desire for Torah, for your Shemayim, for the Mishpatim, for the mitzvahs, and the pekudim, all of these things. And I am careful to observe all of these things. Okay, we turn to the next page, the Mitzudois on the page 177. Bishamram Ekev Rav, Kiyesh Bishmirasan Gimul Socher Habei. In observing these mitzvahs, there is an abundance of reward. Okay, so look at one more time those words. Kiyesh Bishmirasan Gimul Socher Habei. Habei means Rav. And the word Akev is an unusual word. It means reward. Gimul Sochar. A reward. Look at the Mitzudois Tzion. What does it say, Akev? Inyan Sochar. Reward. Ugimul. Shu Soifa Maaseh. Now, why does the heel? Okay, this was Rav Mordechai. Nintz asked the question, what does the word Akev have anything to do with the word reward? So you're right, it doesn't. It's a metaphor. At the very, very end is when the reward comes. Don't expect reward now. Premature. Reward comes at the very end of the body. The bottom line. Okay, the bottom line. That's an expression, an idea. But reward comes, the heel is the end, is the end of the body. The Hoya Akev Tishmirun Parashas Akev. And there are the mitzvahs that a person steps on with his foot. Okay, that's a whole different idea. But Akev, a heel, is symbolic of the end of the human body. There is the top of the body, the head, and the very, very bottom is the heel. And thus, reward is similar to a heel in that reward does not come until the very end. Don't expect to be rewarded, to be acknowledged, to be praised, to be given a compliment for your good deeds in this world. This world is not the end. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. In yin sochar ugmul shu soif ha-masek ki he okev hazeh shu soif ha-guf v'chein ekev tishmu'un. That's Parshas Ekev. The Mitzudah Sion says that's what it means. What does that mean? The reward for listening. It will be, you will be rewarded for listening to Hashem's mitzvahs. Let's see Rashi. Rashi. What? Oh, that's another translation. Let's do one at a time. We're going to see Rashi. Rashi's going to say both. Rashi Pasuk Yudeis, Bishamram, for guarding the mitzvos, Ekev Rav. Mizharti, David says, David is making a statement, gam avdcha and disharti. I've been careful b'shmirasam b'shvil rav tuvcha asher tzafanta l'riach because of the good, the rav tuvcha. Rashi disharti b'shmirasam b'shvil. So ekev means because of rav tuvcha asher tzafanta l'riach. Now let's go one more line. Ulalosh naze ekev kumo ekev asher shama avram b'koli b'shvil. Rashi over here said an amazing pshat. You don't see a Rashi like this. Rashi says the word Rav is a code word. It's a very, very weird thing that Rashi did. This is something that you typically find in an Acharon. You would see something like this in a Sfasemet. Not really Sfasemet, not like in a Chumash Sanoch. I can't even put my finger on it. What kind of a Farish would say this? But this is not something that you would find in a Rishon. In a Rishon and in a Pashtun. The Pashtun. This is not a typical thing Rashi would say. The word Rav, or in this case it's the end of a pasuk, it's Rav, is a code word which starts another pasuk. What is the other pasuk? There's an expression. Rav tuvcha asher safanta li re'ech. That's like a four, you know, we joke around. You do a test, do a test on a person. You walk into a room, or walk on this, go to Avenue M today, of Mordechai, you go to Avenue M today, and you stop a person, and say, finish the pasuk. Finish the pasuk. V'ho'ir shu shan. Finish the pasuk. Oh, Navocha. That's what I would say. Stop someone else. What would they say? So halav is samecha. So halav is samecha. There are two pesukim in the Megillah that begin with the words v'ho'ir shushan, or v'ho'ir shushan, this is machlokes the correct here says. There are two pesukim in the Megillah that begin with those words. Oh, it's a Freudian slip. A Freudian slip. You ask an Arab, you stop a person in the middle of nowhere, on the subway, tap a person on the shoulder, v'ho'ir shushan, and see what he says to you. He'll say either, tzohalav v'samecha, or he'll say, navocha. No, the Litvak will say navocha. And the chassid will say, tzohalav v'samecha. The bocher will say, tzohalav v'samecha. The married man will say, just joking, okay? So, It's a Freudian slip. So what does that mean? The words Ve'ir Shushan is a trigger. It's a trigger. Okay, there are other examples. Okay, there are better about a good. Tell me a pasuk in Koheles that has the concept of Kesef. Kesef. So one person will say, Oyev Kesef, Lo Yisba Kesef. Another person will say, Ya'kesef, ya'ane, esakol. Okay, the word kesef is a trigger. It's a trigger.
What does ya'ane mean?
Afflicts, tortures.
Or
answers.
Ya'ane, esakol, it's an answer for everything. It's an answer for everything, or it's a source of...
That's the difference.
It's a source of inui.
The same possibility depends if it's...
Okay. There are certain words that are triggers for concepts, for feelings, expressions. And depending upon your frame of mind, you are going to say something different. Rashi says, Rashi has the most healthy mind in the world. Rashi, Rabban Shel Yisrael, person who is the teacher of Klal Yisrael, his hashkafa, his frame of mind is pure, it is ideal. So when Rashi says, you have the word Rav. The word Rav in the mind of the holy Rashi is a trigger for the concept of Rav Tuvicha Asher Tzofanta Lireyach. There is an abundance of blessing that you have put away for those who fear you. If you would stop Rashi on the street and you would say, Rashi, you would say, Rav. Rashi would say, Rav Tuvcha, Safan Teluria. Okay, a person who is a Talmud Chacham, a person who has a healthy frame of mind that is thoroughly immersed in Nach, words are triggers. Look, we have now. I told you that that's what davening is all about. Davening.
We're not supposed to serve
up on
spiritual
avodas. So it's 100%.
I mean, this is a direct question because he's saying that why Bishon Rav Ekev Rav, why Bishviel Rav Duvavon, because of the good packaging that we get at the end.
So I'm trying to explain this. We're explaining. Okay, well, let's explain what Rashi's saying. According to Rashi, Rashi is saying, Ekev, we learned the Mitzvah of David. And the Mitzvah David says the word Ekev means reward. We explain the metaphor. That's Rashi will say that in his second interpretation. But Rashi in his first interpretation says the word Ekev means Bishvil. The translation of the word Ekev means Bishvil. Because, what does it mean? Ekev, Bishvil, the Rav. What? Rav, the word Rav, according to Rashi, in this pasuk, is a trigger to remember the concept that is etched in your neshama called Rav Tufcha Tzofanta Liriecha. This doesn't mean that a person is only serving Hashem for reward. He's just saying over here a principle, Bishamram. A person, I'm not only serving Hashem only because I want reward. It's just, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not serving him because I want reward. I'm just stating the fact that a person that does guard the mitzvahs, there will be reward. Does that mean that's the only reason why I serve Hashem? No, I can serve Hashem. I don't even want the reward. I want to serve you because I want to serve you. People do things for many reasons. Rashi over here is telling you the Psha'am the Pasek. He's a statement of fact. Whatever your motives of serving Hashem, that's not what we're discussing. We're making a statement of fact that a person who is a guardian of the Taryag mitzvos, it is a fact that in Bishvil, in reward, Bishvil means because of doing this, in reward, or Bishvil does not mean reward. It means if a person does this, the result is Rav. What? Rav? What's Rav? Don't you know if you're a Jew who's thoroughly immersed in Medrash and Chazal, the word Rav is a code word for Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzofanta Liriecha. It's a beautiful pshat, and if you would close your eyes and not know that this Rashi says this, you would never say that Rashi would say this pshat. This is a typical type of pshat from the Hasidic world. This is from an Acharon. You're dealing with a different time era. You're dealing fast forward from the time of Rashi, at least 600 years, maybe even 700 years. You know, every era has a different mahalik in Torah. And Eluv Ildi Vukim Chaim.
Rashi said it in for Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav lach al toser. Yeah. Dabar elai od badabar hazeh. Yesh ra gam ken sachar ba'olam haba. It's the same thing.
But Rav lach there means enough. Okay, all right, fine. But, okay, it's
maybe because of the awkwardness of this that Rashi goes on to an alternative explanation.
It has to be. It's a very interesting shot. And you know, like we tell you know, I'm very excited because they came out now with Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the Sidur. This was already before he died. And they put out already, they're putting out a series. I don't know who's his grandson. They put out a lot of stuff. They have here in the shul almost all of them. They have on Chamishe, they took a lot of his svarim, and they translated into English in a very simple way. They have on Chumash. They have already on Chamishe Chumash is Torah. They have here in the shul. And they put out on Shiduchim, and they put out on Shemitah, a lot. So this was already in the works before he suddenly was Nifter. It was already in the works. Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the Sidur. In English. They have already on the Siddur, I already have a sefer from him on the Siddur, 20 years old already, 20 years ago. Probably one of the best Svarim I have on the Siddur. Unbelievable sefer. And since then, they put out other things, older, they put out more and more. Arts will now put out in English, I'm very excited, I'm sure it's very, and he does that, every single pshat of Chaim Kanievsky is just like that. That's Homahalch. Every single word in the Nusach HaTfilah is exactly what Rashi does. It's code words. You can't translate the words. It doesn't make any sense. Chazal put together code words, and each word is a trigger for a concept. They're triggers, like in this pasuk. b'shamra, a person who guards the Torah, akef, b'shvil, for doing this, the result will be rav. What? What does rav mean? Rav is not meant to be a word that stands alone and you translate. Rav is a concept. It is the first word of an expression. And what is the expression? Rav Tuvcha Asher Safanta Lireyach. That's what it means. That's Rashi. The Shachim Pshat. You know why? Because David didn't even say it yet. This layer Nizmar Lamed Aleph. And that goes to show how Ein Muktam Mu'uchar in Tehillim. According to Rashi, this word, one word Rav, is a reference to what it says later on in the Mizmar Lamed Hay. And we didn't read Mizmar Lamed Hay. Lamed Av. Okay, this is, I really think it's unique. Rashi, the way Rashi says it, Rav Kalman is saying that Rashi says something similar by Rav Lach. But the way Rashi says it over here is very unique. It's very explicit in this style. The style of interpreting the pasuk, which you don't typically see, Rashi doesn't go down that path. But here he is. Devarach, now we go to the second interpretation, which is what the Mitzudah Stavit in essence said. The Mitzudah Stavit took it from here, obviously. Devarach, Ekev Rav. Ekev in this context means reward. Reward doesn't mean b'shvil. Ekev means reward. Ekev Rav, Soifah Neshal Talmidei Chachamim Lavoi Lidei Gedula. The end of Talmidei Chachamim's greatness. Ekev Lashon Soif. The word Ekev means the end. And I take it back. You see, he's not really saying what the Mitzvah Stavit said. He's saying what Ekev means the end. The end. V'yesh v'chave b'loshim mishnah, ikvois Mashiach. We're living now in the ikvois Mashiach. Am I saying that correctly? How do we normally say it? Ikvois of the Mashiach. That's the word, ikvois. We say ikvois in Aramaic. He's saying the expression, ikvois Mashiach, the end of days. Okay, the end of days, the heel. The heel is the end of the body. The Mitzvah Stavah went a little bit further. He said it's not just the word end. It really means reward. Reward, because the reward comes at the end. Rashi is dwelling, it's not, don't say the word reward. Don't say reward. Say, Ekev, it's not Peshvil. The Rav, in this interpretation, it would appear that he's not deviating from the word Rav. Rav means greatness. Okay, greatness. Akev, the greatness comes at the end. Don't expect to receive reward and recognition and kavod at any time soon. That comes at the very end. And the fact that a person gets kavod at recognition, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. It's not something which... That's when it's supposed to come. Acharei mos kedoshim, exactly. Okay, so this is two very beautiful Perushim in Rashi. Let me just see what I wrote down over here before I go further, because I forget very quickly. That's why I haven't written down. I didn't put my notes in this because I can't schlep around so many svarim, so I have another sefer where I prepare later, and I have all the notes over there. Okay, so...
You want to learn the Targum? I'm not sure exactly what
he said. You want to see the Targum over here? Okay, let's see the Targum. Bram bot, gam. So he says gam means bram bot. Avdecha, your servant, is the har, is careful behind. Kadwen, nitarinun, means to watch. Chilufei hocheina. So over here he's saying something very good. I don't know what this means. Chilufei hechana is aved rabahon. Tavhon di Yisrael. I have no idea what that means, so let me go look it up over here in the Targum. Okay, we'll come to it. I wrote it down. We'll come one thing at a time. We'll come to it one thing at a time. So, Michal, you have a translation for this, maybe? One second. Okay, I'm going to bring it. I have also a translation over here. Just give me one moment to bring it up. Targum. Okay, let's see. Chapter 19. okay, I have a feeling that they don't have here, for some reason, they stopped, it's very bizarre, they stopped Targum with Perek Yud Ches. They never got around to writing the Targum translation on Perek Yud Ches. For some reason, there is no Targum here on Perek Yud Ches. Perek Yud Ches, this is Pasuk number 12. Biram. What happened over here? No, there's no, I don't have a translation. I don't have. At least not here. I have to go. Okay, maybe we'll come back to it. Right now, we have to go further. I don't know what the translation is. It's saying something very interesting, obviously, and important. And Lee Ned will come back to it. Okay, before we go further, you're right. I did mark off the Baal HaTurim. But first, just look at the Tosfos Rid. The Perusha Rid, Akev. He says we're Sochor. Come up, 176 in the Perush Harid. It's on the right side, underneath Rashi. Okay, Ekev Sochar. Come over, Ekev. He's saying exactly what he says, what the Mitzudos David said. Okay, we have in total three precise translations for the word Ekev. Either it means Sochar, that's what the Perush Harid and the Mitzudos Tzion says. The Mitzvah Sin is much later. He's just a compiler. So the Rid is a Rishon. So the Rid, when he says something, it has a lot of weight. It means Sochar. Rashi gave us two alternative translations. Either it means Bishvil, or it means Soif. Three translations for the word Akev, and depending on the translation, you're going to have to go readjust the meaning of the word Rav. If it means reward, it means there's an abundance of reward. If it means bishvil, then the word rav is a code word for rav tuvcho asher tzafanta liriecha. And if it means soif, it means rav, that means greatness. It doesn't necessarily mean reward, it means greatness. Is at the end of days, at the end of time, there will be rav, greatness to those that are guardians of Hashem's Torah. Okay, Rabbi Naaman wants us to look at the Baal HaTurim. So let's take a look at it. There's Sham Ekev Rav. Aseres HaDibros, it's a little bit complicated, this Baal HaTurim. Aseres HaDibros Masilim Ba'alef Umesayimim B'chof. The Aseres HaDibros says, Ach, Onoichi Hashem Elokeach, it's Aleph, Anens V'loi Sachmoid, L'chohol Asher L'reecho. Cho. The last letter of the Aseres HaDibros is a Chof. Ach. Aleph Chof. Aleph Chof is 21. Umesayim Chof is Zeh. Ach. What is that? Another code word. Ach Toiv Li Yisrael. Hashem is good to the Jewish people. Ach. V'yesh Bochem Tov Reish Chof Oisiyos. K'neged Hayag Mitzvahs V'shev Mitzvah Shol B'nei Noyach. V'simonam Keser Torah. There are, in the first Luchos, there are 620 letters. 620 letters correspond to the Taryag Mitzvah, 613 plus 7. What are the 7? So here he says, the Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. Others like to say the 7 Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan. Okay, either it's going to be the 7 Mitzvahs of B'nei Noyach, and some say that there are 7 primary Mitzvahs of D'Rabbanan, 7 Mitzvahs, Loimar. So therefore it comes to Keser, a crown, Loimar. To say Shem Adam Loimei Torah L'Shma, he Keser L'Rosh. The person observes that Aseres HaDibros. This is his Keser. V'im Loimei Shloim L'Shma, Yachzor L'Kores. Now, the word 620 is not just Keser; it's also Kores. A person uses Torah as a tool of abuse, he will be cut off. The Yesh Baram Tevot is meaning Akev. Now this is really why he's bringing it. How many words are there in the Luchos Rishonos? There are 172 words are found in the Aseres HaDibros. V'zehu Shiramaz Eliezer, Beka Mishkoloi. Beka. What is Beka? Beka is 172. It's the same letters as Akev. And we know that when Eliezer, he gave Rivka, he gave her gifts. He gave her two tzimidim, two bracelets. Rashi. Why did he give her two bracelets? Rashi on that pasuk. Kineged, the two luchos. Asara Zahav Mishkalam, Kineged, the Aseres Adibras. Where in the world did Rashi get that from? And Rashi took it from a Medrash, obviously, but why was Rashi enamored by that Medrash to, from all of the things that Rashi could have said, there's no shortage. Go take a look at Torah Shlema. Go take a look at what Rashi could have said on that pasuk. From the infinite amount of Mamari Chazal, what is Rashi selecting specifically this Mamari Chazal? What was so enamoring? Because the opening words are Beka Mishkaloi. Beka is the same letters as Akef. It's the same gematria as 172. That's how many words are found in the Aseres Adibras. And immediately Eliezer recognized that this woman, Rivka, she will be the mother of the nation that will receive the Aseres Adibras. Beka Mishkalo Shnei Tzimidim Eilu Shnei Luchas Asaras of Mishkalom Eilu Aseres Adibras Zehu Akev Asher Shoma Avraham Bekarli. It is Akev because Akev, it's Mida Keneged Mida. This is a beautiful Tabadal Turim. It's Mida Keneged Mida. It's because Akev, Beshvil, we'll learn now like Rashi's first shot. It's Beshvil, Avraham observed the words of Hashem Bekarli. That is why he will marry, that it will be his descendants that will be Makabal, the Aseres Adibros, which are captured in Akev Tevas. It's Akev Shama Avram Bikoili. That's Midi Kenegi Midi. Yeah?
Just like Tehran, I just thought it was not only Avram Avinu as a Shaykh is here with the Gematria, but even Yaakov Avinu. Yud, Ayin Kuf.
Akev, very good. Because Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov, he was gripping onto the heel of Esav.
Yeah, but
Akev.
Akev.
With the Yud.
72 words and Yud for the Aseres Adibras.
Okay, that's a little bit, you know, you're putting together two things over here. But it's definitely something very true what you're saying, and that the Shoresh of Yaakov is Akev. Yaakov represents the, Yaakov was the, think about it. What's the person, what is it when you daven, Shmoneh Esh, people always ask the question, Where in the Shemoneh Esrei are you a mispal for children? Something so fundamental, so basic. Where are you a mispal for children? V'sein sochor toiv l'chol aboitchem b'shimcha b'emes. Good children, good grandchildren, sochor toiv. What was the sochor toiv that Hashem gave Avraham? Yaakov. He had a good grandchild. Yaakov. That was from Yaakov, was Yaakov mitos ha-shleima. From Yaakov came Klal Yisrael. The saying is Sochar Tov. We want to welcome to the Beis Medrash, Mark Platnik. Mark Platnik is in the house. All rise. Okay, the saying is Sochar Tov. Sochar Tov is the reward. He was the reward. Avraham Avinu, because he was observant of Hashem's mitzvahs, v'hoye Akev tishmuun, he got a Yaakov Avinu. What is Yaakov? Akev. Yeah, but Akev. I'm just expanding upon what the Baal HaTurim says. What was Avraham Avinu's reward? V'hoyot, it's Akev Asher Shoma Avraham B'Koili. What does the Baal HaTurim say? It's because you listen to the Koili, Akev. I'm going to give you an Akev. What is the Akev? The Torah, which is given in 172 words. Akev. Why do you need to come on to that? Say better. V'hoya Akev Asher Shama Avraham B'Koili, because he observed my mitzvahs, I'm going to give him an Enikol, who is an Akev. The Shoresh of Yaakov Avinu is rooted in the word Akev. His Oichez V'Akev Esav. His name, the Mahus of Yaakov, is Akev. Okay, there's a Yud. The Yud is a prefix. It's part of the but the Shoresh, the root of Yaakov is the Akev. So the Akev Asher Shama Avraham B'Koili, the Sochar to Avraham Avinu, was the Enikol Yaakov, who is the Akev, Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, you ask people, what is the biggest nachas in this world? It's their grandchildren. What about your children? Grandchildren. Like someone once told me, the famous joke is, you know, had I known how much I would love my grandchildren, I would have had him first. I have children and grandchildren. I love them, but I love my children, my grandchildren. But if I have known how much I love the grandchildren, I would have had them before my children. Okay, it's a joke, but it's not a joke. Okay, like, you know, the other joke is that when the Einikach come, when they come to visit, so when they come, it's nachas. And when they leave, it's relief. The children, there's no relief. They're always there. It's just nachas. Ekev, it's a nida connected nida. B'shamram ekev rock, and that's, let's leave that. That part we leave out. That's a little bit too.
We're talking about the derivation of Eidah, but where does the word Eidah come from?
It's Asneh Einenu Ukal. Ukal, that's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was the originator of that. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was I think Rav David could probably quote B'shema Rav Yaakov, maybe not. Maybe them both Mechav, but that they say that over that bar, they say it over in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Okay, it's a nice verse. Is it
a safe of all the Yiddish words?
He has three volumes on Yiddish expressions, the roots of Yiddish expressions in Chazal. Yes, it's a very choshev, three volumes. But you need to know, you have to be fluent in Yiddish. Yiddish, unfortunately, it's not, it's very rich. It was developed. Yiddish is a dialect of German that was unique to Jews. It was developed over hundreds of years. And it's like, it's a Judification of German. And we mentioned many times when Rashi quotes Laz, and Rabbi Chol over here is our expert on Laz. There is no dictionary for the words that Rashi says. If you go try to find the words that Rashi says, you're not going to find it. What does Laz mean? When Rashi, this is basically a Yiddish version of French, which doesn't exist today. What is Yiddish? Yiddish is a dialect.
Right? It could be a form.
You'll find in old in French you'll find the words, but it's not.
Know,
it's
in that area that bordered on Germany.
It was unique to Jews. It was unique. Yeah, this language doesn't exist. It's the equivalent of Yiddish to German. There's no such language as Yiddish. Yiddish, it became a language. Yiddish is basically this German. And Jews spoke German for whatever the reason was. They spoke German and then they began to like we have Yinglish. You listen to a yeshiva bach talk, you get a little bit right? But that's exactly what happened to German. German's German, and Jews began to speak German, but they had their own culture, and they began to inject into German Mamori Chazal and unique expressions, and it took on a life of its own. And it became very sophisticated. And there are many even dialects of Yiddish. But Yiddish is really German. It's German, which has been transformed into a Jewish version of German. Laz is exactly the same with regard to French. Jews lived in France, and they spoke the mother language of French. But then they began to inject into the language a Yiddish atav. Lash Amzar. Lashon Amzar. It's an acronym. But when Rashi quotes, Rashi says a word, Belaz, he doesn't mean German, he doesn't mean Latin, he doesn't mean English, he's referring to a very specific language. He's referring to that they write in the arts with Old French. That's not correct. The experts are saying that's not what it means. They just put that in. It means the Yiddish version of French. There is no dictionary anywhere in the world that has the Yiddish version of French. It doesn't exist. It's lost. There were Jews who lived in France. Many of them were killed, or many of them fled, and the language disappeared. They spoke French, and over the years they lived in France, the Jewish population, they began to inject into the language a Jewish flavor to French, and it took on a life of its own. And when Rashi was the Frenchman, Rashi was brought up in France, he grew up in France, he went to study for a number of years in Germany, in the German yeshivas, and after he got his education, he went back to France and had a yeshiva. So Rashi spent most of his life in France, and in France they had a very rich culture of Jews, and they spoke
their own dialect of French. And that language that Rashi is referring to is gone. You're not going to find a dictionary because the Goyim didn't preserve it. The Goyim didn't even speak it. And the Jews never preserved it. And it's lost. And Rashi, when he's talking to his people in France, and in France they spoke this Jewish dialect of French, and that's what he's saying. These words may somehow be similar to other words. If you look in the old French, the real French, you may find something similar, maybe exactly the same word sometimes, but Rashi is really describing a completely different language, which is the equivalent of Yiddish, which is the Jewish version of German. Hopefully they'll never say that about English. English. Yeah.
Latino.
I don't know, but it's different. I'm saying, was anything... It's not Jewish. Latino is not Jewish. That's a total Gaucho
language. No, it's Spanish together with the... It's Spanish together.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Yeah. Ladino is a Jewish dialect of Spanish.
Yes.
It's not like, I don't know, is that to what degree? None of the Goyim spoke Ladino?
I don't think so.
No.
It's purely amongst the Jews?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have another, if that's true, then you have another example of it. You have another example.
Another example. It's in Hebrew script.
What?
And it's in Hebrew script.
Okay. So that you have another example then, Ladino. Rashi was not from Spain. Rashi had no connection to Spain whatsoever.
The Ma'amor was written like that.
Oh, okay, fine. And the Rambam, you don't find the Rambam talking in the other language, Arabic. Rambam only spoke, he wrote some of his things in Arabic, I believe. So that there's no dialect. There's no dialect. That's pure Arabic. Okay? People today who know English, they pride themselves in a perfect English with no injection of anything Jewish. In the art school, the art school's not going to tolerate. They're not going to tolerate someone writing English. They're not going to publish a manuscript that's written in English. They'll only publish a perfect English. Okay, all the major publishers. You want to write English? Or not, then go publish it yourself. We follow the rules. But you're saying Ladino? Ladino is Spanish. Ladino. Yiddish and what they call in English Old French, which is not Old French. It's the Jewish version of French. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so this is that there's another thing on the Baal HaTum, at least at the end, he says in Tishmar, in the Baal HaTum Mahoy Ekev. Okay, we did that. Okay, one thing says Marasha Asei Toiratzcha Keva. There's an expression Chazal say, "Asei Toiroscha Keva," make your Torah Keva permanent, primary. Your priorities. What are your priorities in life? There are many people that have no time to learn. That's the way it goes. If you have a couple of children and you got to make parnasa, unfortunately, a person comes Shabbos and he says, "What's the parsha this week?" He's not to be blamed. Mm-hmm. You know, someone, you have a person who went to a good yeshiva. Someone told me, yeah, someone who went to yeshiva, he was a hasmada, he went to kollel, he was in kollel a couple of years, and then the time came, he has to make a parnasa. And when you have to make a parnasa, and you have to do carpool the whole day, and you got to go take your kids to the doctor, and you got to go do this, you got to do that, and you're going out of your mind, it's not a kasha, even though you spend in kollel 10 years, and now, or whatever the time, you come to shul on Shabbos, what's this week's parsha? It could happen. But that person, because he was brought up with a very powerful chinuch, it's asei toirascha keva. It's the ikur. It is the primary thing in my life. Just because I don't have too much time to learn, because I have to make a parnasa and I'm very, very busy, and my head is spinning. Asei toirascha keva. So you have another example, this word you can play around with. It's Ekev, it's Keva, and what else did we say? It's Ekev, Keva, and Beka. Three different expressions. Beka Mishkoloi. Beka Mishkoloi, Ekev Tishmu'un, and Asei Toroska Keva, which represents the Aseres Hadibrois. Okay, now let's take a look over here. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Next pasuk, Yud Yom Shugios Miyavim Ministeros Nakein. Shigiyos miyavin. What does this mean? Shigiyos means a person who makes a mistake. Miyavin, who can comprehend? It's a very hard expression. Then it's ministodos, from the secrets, nakeni. Let's see, Pasuk Yudgim, the Mitzvah Stavid. In the Mitzvah Stavid, miyavin. Okay, on page 177. Miyavin, miyichal lehizboinen, mibli mitzoy boi shigiyah. Kipam rabos yikre she yishgeh ha'adam bedait. It's common for a person to make a mistake. Lachshoyv she'in ra bedavar mo, that he's not doing anything wrong. Avalokinu, it's not true. Ki nelam v'nistam imenu toichen adavar, person is mistaken. So over here, the very big dilemma, all the mefarshim, are we discussing mitzvahs or are we discussing Talmud Torah? I can't keep track of who says what. Each one of the mefarshim has a different focus. Some of the mefarshim say that we're focusing here on mitzvahs. A person is supposed to do the tayag mitzvahs, but it's inevitable. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yecheta. People are human and people make mistakes. To err is human. To forgive is
divine.
It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. To forgive is divine. Wait. To forgive is human.
1.0.
To err is divine. Think about it. If you think about it, it's just the opposite. Again, to err is no. That's what they say. I'm telling you, it's the opposite. To err, to make a mistake, is divine. It's Min HaShemayim to make mistakes. It's Min HaShemayim. David made a mistake. Kol Oimer David Chata, Eina El Toya. Eina El Toya. Adam Arishon. Are you going to tell me that Adam Arishon was meant not to eat the Eitz Hadas? Are you going to tell me that the original plan when Hashem made Adam and Chava, the goal was Adam would not eat from the Eitz Hadas? What kind of world would this be? It would be so boring. If Adam would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava would never, Adam would not have died, Chava did not eat, and they would live forever. They would not have children, because there would be no need to have children, they'll live forever. And what would they be doing the whole day? This whole world, what would be going on the whole day? Nothing. It was meant to be. And that's it, it's not my heart, I'm not saying this. Adam was set up to a degree to sin. This is not this is a controversial type of thing. What are you talking about? David sinned. What kind of? David, it was meant for David to sin. David had to sin. It was, okay, this is the little controversial type of verdlach. To err is divine. Is divine. To forgive, this is the koyach of Adam, this human. The man, this is the avoidah sa'adam. Avoidah sa'adam, Hashem put you in this world to overcome your gaiva. A guy goes and he steps on my foot, I should forgive him? I don't have to forgive him. Bimazir al midoisov. This is the tasket. This is why you're a human being. This is why Hashem put you in this world. Hashem put you in this world in order that you should be mavir al midoisav and you should forgive. So to err, to make mistakes, people, they make mistakes and they look back their whole life and they say, what a foolish thing that I did. And now I suffer my whole life from this. You can't say that when a person makes a mistake and there are consequences his whole life, that it's his totally... There's a certain mahalik in dealing with situations. You have to have a emunah. The big things that affect your life in very big ways, even though it's your fault, it's really, really your fault, if you suffer your whole life from it, there's such a mahalik in emunah that it was meant to be like that. It's true, you're to blame, but you know, Hashem doesn't punish a person more than what he deserves. And if a person suffers to an extreme his whole life, it's like Bashert. This, whatever the reasons are, Hashem put a person to this world, everyone, no one came to this world with a free lunch. Okay, that's a side topic. That expression is a very good topic of conversation. Is it like they say in the world, to err is human, to forgive is divine? or it's really just the opposite. To err is divine. To forgive is human. Think about it. Okay, now we go back to the paragraph here, over here. Shagias, now this passage, there's a very big dilemma among all the parashim. Are we discussing here mitzvahs, or are we discussing Talmud Torah? It doesn't make a difference. And when it comes to mitzvahs, everyone once in a while, he wakes up late. Everyone once in a while, he slips, he does something that's not correct. Ein tzadik bo'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yechata. So, and what about when it comes to Talmud Torah? Many times you learn something, and then when you review it, at a later point in time, you realize that my original understanding of the subject was incorrect. It's inevitable that you're going to make mistakes in your understanding of the Torah. So, shigiyos, to make an error, to make a mistake in understanding the Torah, miyavim, who can comprehend the subject matter? Who can be committed to the mitzvahs to such a degree where it's going to happen that he will not be a shoygeg? He will not be a shoygeg. There are two words, the word shoygeg and the word shoygeg. Okay, they're both very similar, which means to make an error. Miyavim, who in this world, it's a hard translation, can be in a frame of mind where he understands everything in this world the way it's supposed to be and not come to make a mistake in his performance of the mitzvahs or in his understanding of a concept in the Torah. And David now prays, Ministeros Nakeni, Hashem, cleanse me from the secrets. What does that mean? Look at the Mitzvahs, David. Ministeros Nakeni, Leze Eshal. Now here comes an incredible words of the Mitzvahs. Therefore I ask, Asher Techaper Li, you shall forgive me, Usanake Oisi Mehorasha Asisi, from the evil that I have done, Ki Al Kihoya Nistar Mimeni Toichen Hadovar, because it was hidden from me. David here, according to most of the commentators on this page, is referring very specifically to Bas Sheva. This is a very critical mizmar, this mizmar, and these words, according to is really lies the depth of what exactly, how could it be that David HaMelech sinned regarding this matter of taking Bas Sheva, a woman who was not his wife, that was either semi-married or designated for another man. How could it be? David just goes and he takes her. So David here is coming to defend himself. Shegiyos miyavin. You have to read the words backwards. Miyavin, who is there in this world that understands his mind is perfect, is pure, is clear in understanding how this world works to the degree where he will not commit an error. Ministerois, nakeini, cleanse me. In other words, forgive me, expunge, remove the stain of sin that is within me, because why? It was beyond my control. It was nista. David over here is coming to claim, it's a very, very difficult puzzle, that it's not my fault. And that is usually never, ever an excuse. It's never an excuse. This, in fact, is what I got. This is a very deep part. I heard this on a tape from Rav Chutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, amazing, amazing, I think a Purim Maimon. And he said, it says by Agag. Okay, we read this as the Haftarah on Parshas on Shabbos, Parshas Zohar. Parshas Zohar, it said, we read about Shaul's fatal mistake in not executing Agag when he first apprehended him. And then, who comes the next day? Shmuel arrives. And Shmuel gives Musar to Shaul. Shaul, I commanded you to execute Agag the first moment you get your hands on him. Why did you delay? And because you delayed, that's it. You're finished. Hashem is taking away the malchus from you. You disobeyed a direct order. Hashem is removing the malchus from you. He's going to give it to David. You're finished. You have too many chances. It's not the first time you made a mistake. You made other mistakes. But this already is the Machi B'Patish. No more. You're out. And then Shmuel said, bring me Agag. I'll do it myself. And they brought forth Agag in Ma'adonois. Agag was brought forth in Ma'adonois. What does it mean, Ma'adonois? In chains. They brought him forth in shackles. Why does the Pasuk have to mention that he brought forth Agag in shackles? Why don't they tell us what kind of clothing he was wearing? What he ate for breakfast that morning? What is the significance they brought him forth in shackles?
Maybe he was too strong. He could have hit. Could have
so, of course, so the Melos. So that's not a piece of information that's necessary. Do we have to know what kind of shackle? Was it metal? Was it wood? What was his prison clothing? What did it look like? Who were his prison guards? We need to know every single detail. What kind of prison cell he was in? They brought him forth to Shaul in shackles, and Shaul took his sword and chopped off his head. Why do we have to know he was brought forth in shackles? That's irrelevant. So they bring him to me and they killed him. So the Rav Chudner, he says, I don't know where he's, what his source is, he's saying, they didn't just bring Agag. There was a trial. There was mishpat. They didn't just kill him on the spot. They brought him forth and they had a trial. They had a Sanhedrin. And they said to Agag, defend yourself. Maybe you have a good excuse. Maybe before we kill you, maybe there's something you could say. You'll be malame zuchus on your neshama. We shouldn't kill you. We'll give you a chance. So Agag said something that has been said, which has been said throughout history. He says, I'm shackled. This is the way God made me. This is the way I am. I was put into this world with a predisposition to murder. That's just how I am. That's the way God. There are people that like celery, and there are people that like broccoli, and there are people that like licorice. I like to kill people. This is what I like to do. I have a taiva. I got hormones. I don't know how you want to describe this. We know this. There are people that have a predisposition to behave in a certain way, I am out of control. My hormones are out of control, and I am shackled. I am tied up. My ability to overcome my desire to murder and to have pleasure in other people's suffering is stifled. Those hormones, those genes that a regular person has that prevent him from doing evil, I don't have.
Loose cannon.
What?
Loose cannon.
I'm a loose cannon. Those hormones are shackled. This was his defense. Like the Nuremberg trials. We're just following orders. Okay? I'm shackled. This was his defense. And Shmuel said, we, as a Sanhedrin, whoever was with him, this, I want to make it clear, this is your defense, this is not a defense. This is unacceptable.
We are following orders to kill you.
What?
He said we are following
orders. No, it's deeper than that. Rav Chudner is saying it's much deeper than that. This was a dogma. This is an argument that people have made throughout world history. This is an argument. This is the way I am. There's no bechira. I don't have free will.
In other words, not their fault.
It's not my fault. I'm following.
This
argument comes in 31 flavors. 31 flavors. What? That's right. The devil made me do it. This argument, Ma'adonois, is a catch-all word which has 31 flavors. Which in every generation, when wicked people are finally apprehended and they're put on trial, they come to the defense. The Nuremberg trials, what was the number one argument? Following orders. Many of the criminals, following orders. And throughout all the generations, this has always been made in all different variations. Shmuel, they took him at Ba'adonis, and Shmuel the Navi, representing Hashem, says, let it be clear as day to the world. There is no such excuse as I am a muchrach. I am shackled. I am forced to do something that is not acceptable. That is not, the world should know that is not acceptable. No one is forcing you to do anything. Hashem put you in this world. You have free will. You choose to murder. You choose to cause other people harm. You are guilty. This is not an excuse. You want to go to the psychologist and try to understand why it's not an excuse? It's not even relevant. Shmuel was a prophet. He said in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you come forth. We put you on trial. Your defense is, I'm shackled. Let it be known. Let it you do it to the entire world. This is not an excuse. Not now and not never. Every single person in this world has free will.
Now, I agree with everything you say. I'm just, it's the defense we use on the Yom and the Rev. Like, we are like the a piece of metal in the hands of the metal. We're like the glass.
No, that's not what it means. The Choyver Biyad HaYotzer? No, that's not defense. Hinei, the Choyver Biyad HaYotzer? That's not a defense. It's just that's an expression of humility. It's not a defense. Absolutely not. Why? It doesn't say anywhere. We are mad or in the hands of a creator.
What can I do?
No. That's not what it means.
You're saying we have no excuse.
Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up.
It's the best we can do.
The reason why I'm is because David over here, the way that the Tzuvah's David is presenting, it's very fine here, very fine line. David HaMelech over here is almost basically saying, I'm a mukhrach. David over here, according to the Mishnah, he's saying, Shigiyas, Hashem, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? I saw a woman on the roof. She was a beautiful woman. Okay, I'll put it in very, very nasty words, which Chas Shom, I don't mean in any mean anyway, because I have a very limited vocabulary, very limited understanding. But David, what do you want from me? I saw a beautiful woman. I'm a healthy male. I have hormones. And I have taiva, like a regular, healthy, male adult. And technically, she's permitted. Yeah, there's some ethical, issue over here. Some ethical issue over here that she's miyuchud for Ori HaChiti. I can't control myself.
But it says that lo kedai David, completely...
Okay, we're going to mention over here.
It was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the issue in order for him to be about Tshuva.
Call Ha'omer David Chata Eina Elatoya.
But even more, in other words, he was mukhrach, he was pushed to do
this. Yeah, that's the question. That's exactly that's
it. It should be right.
It's exactly what we're asking.
A model for the.
Where did the Gemara get that from? Where did the Gemara get that? Where did the Gemara get that from? This pasuk we're learning right now, the Gemara that you're quoting to me and which the Mitzvah is David is summarizing is rooted in this pasuk Yud Gimel. Shigiyos miyavin ministeros nakeni. The Mitzvah says this pasuk refers specifically to Basheva, and David is asking me nakeni, forgive me because nistorois, it was beyond me, I couldn't control myself. Miyavin. Is there a person in this world that can comprehend the nesayon, can comprehend the situation where they would act properly in this situation where the taiva, the passion is burning in my heart and you can be prevented from making a mistake? Your mind is clouded. Your mind is blinded because of the distractions, because of the nesayonis. And David is making the defense, I'm a mukhrach.
Right, that's what I'm trying to
say. So it's a contradiction. To
but
what it
not
says.
That he was, the hormones, hydrous and stuff like that. He didn't have that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed him anyway.
No. Okay, fine, however you want to say. However you want to say, he's saying he's a mukhrach.
Yeah, he's a mukhrach.
So that's why I'm coming to present.
That's the illustration
of it. In the story of Agag, Shmuel made it clear as day. There is no such argument. This pasuk Yud Gimel, as you have explained very well, is where David basically is making that argument to protect himself. It is a contradiction. How do you answer the contradiction? A very fine line. The way you answer the contradiction is mamish, you're splitting hairs literally. You're splitting hairs. Is David over here, even though he's using terminology which would seem to indicate that I was forced into it. David is, you have to you have to be very careful how you explain it, how you say it. He's not going that far. You have no choice but to say that. David ultimately at the end of the day said chotasi. David at the end of the day did say to Shmuel, to Nasan Anavi, he did say the word chotasi. I have sinned. Okay, Agag never said chotasi. Never. Okay, David said chotasi. But yet David, when he comes to ask mechila from Hashem, he's saying, listen Hashem, you know, it was a very difficult nisayon. You got to cut me some slack.
Okay, but he asked for it. So
what? He asked for it.
What about the concept of onus from contra? Did it such a thing as onus?
This is all part of the equation. You're asking very good. It's all part. I don't have any answers. And guess what? I don't think anyone has answers.
People are really not onus. I mean, I think that's.
There's a very, very fine point. There's a very, very fine point between not bearing responsibility, and you are responsible. I don't have an answer. I don't think anyone has an answer. This is something which has troubled the greatest commentators for generations. All we have to acknowledge is David did say the words chotasi. David acknowledged, I bear responsibility. Mitzad Sheni, David is asking for forgiveness. And in his line of defense, he's saying, you know, Hashem, you know, it was really way over my pay grade to survive. So what do you want from me? So, but that's not enough. Chotasi, I did sin. Agag said, I didn't sin nothing. I didn't sin. Garnished. Madanos. I acknowledge. So, Agag, there's a very, very fine line between I'm just following orders. I'm a tzaddik. Look, my friend says parsa. I have split hooves. I was just following orders. I represent the best of society. I did nothing wrong. David said chotasi, and David yet says, you know, the nisoyin was so overwhelming. What do you want from me? I don't have the words. I don't have an answer. I'm not a psychologist. But at least let us acknowledge the difficulty. Let us acknowledge the whole smorgasbord of information that's being presented between, you know, David, what do you want from me? And what did the Goyim say? It's no one's denying you the fact that there are people that are born today with hormones and with overwhelming Yetzirah to do certain things. The Mamash is defined medically. Everyone knows, like, in this thing that's going on today, there's something called nature versus nurture. Just because Rahmanul Litzlam, there are people that have, they're not well. What, you're going to say all these words it says in the Torah, To'eva, they're an abomination. A person like this is a despicable person. Rahmanul Litzlam, a lot of these people, this is how they're born. They know scientifically, they know in science, they have hormones. No Rav would say about a person that's born like this, he's a To'eva, he's an abomination. Chas v'shalom. But there is another category of people who are born healthy and nurture this into their neshamas through being mashchisim, mushchosim, lowlifes, nurture. This is something which is very well studied. I used to listen to the radio, listen to John, what's his name, Lehrer. I used to work in the morning, so I used to listen. So he was very, very good. They explained this whole thing in a lot of very insightful concepts, and it very much stems with Chazal. So there are Rishoyim in the world that are an abomination to this world. Amalek is Zohar, Eis Hashah, Asulch Amalek, they're murderers, they're Reitzchim. There's no Rachmanis on these people. But you have to also, there are situations where a person is indeed in a matzav of, is out of control. And David says it to a degree over here. What do you want from me, Hashem? It's not my fault. I'm an adult male. I saw this woman, Basheva. Whatever the situation was, how do you balance it? I'm the last guy to tell you that I know. Are you going to find commentators that seem, it seems everyone at the end of the day, with all the commentary, they'll say there's a contradiction. It says in Chazal, Kolo Oimer, David Choto, Eine Ele Toyet. Really? David himself said chotos. How in the world can you reconcile those two statements? Sorech in godol ad moed. But at least it's kedai to appreciate the fact. It's very late. We're going to stop here. We're going to tomorrow. Take a short break. We're going to do some Haggadah, some Inyani. I want to discuss a lot of some very interesting things about Karpas. We'll talk about Karpas. Not Karpas. I'm sorry. Not Karpas. Not Karpas. What am I saying, though? Charoises. Charoises. When we come back.